We have a mitzvah which repeats itself both in Parshas Yisro in the first set of Luchos and a second time in Parshas Vayeschanan in this week's Parsha in the second set of Luchos. And since we spoke earlier about the Aseres HaDibros, I wanted to pick up on that and start from the beginning on Nochi Hashem Elokecha. And the question that I want to ask you is, what is the nature of this mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha? Now, what I mean to ask is the following. There are two words in Lashon Kodesh, both of which are good candidates to describe the essence of this mitzvah, but I think they're fundamentally different one from the other. One is called Emunah, and the other is called Yidiah. Yidiah Hashem. There's Emunah Hashem and there's Yidiah Hashem. And I'm not sure which of the two would fulfill the requirements of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And in order to describe what I have in mind, let's first read the psukim inside. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisicha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Mi'beis Avodim. And my question to you is, are we dealing with Emunah? In other words, to accept as it was given to us in tradition, we have to be, you know, what we call in English, blind faith. That's called Emunah. Or no, we need Chakira Sichlit. We have to use our intellect. God endowed us with the power of intellect and inquire and investigate and analyze. That's called Yediyah Das. Das means when we don't just accept the fundamentals of our faith. That's not sufficient. We have to weigh them. We have to analyze them. A person in the second level of Yediyas Hashem is obligated to utilize in the maximum way his intellectual capacities to come up with proofs for the fundamentals of our belief. Should we be engaging in those in intellectual inquiries and investigations? Are we obligated to do so? And I think what we're going to see here today is a very deep and profound controversy on this issue. It's almost going to be polar extremes. One cuts it to the other cuts it. And we're going to talk about Rishonim who lived at the same time. They were contemporaries and they had opposite views, one or the other. And I think if we start with Rabbeinu Bechai, which you'll see on the second page, I believe that that's a good place to kick it off. Rabbeinu Bechai authored a book, a very famous book called Chovos Halevavos. In many of the yeshivas, at least back when I was a kid, this was like required reading. Today it's a little filled that fell out of fashion. But Rabbeinu Bechai, as we'll soon see, claims that if a person has the capacity, he has the koach of seichel, and he's able to clarify things that he received by analyzing them and subjecting them to the power of analysis, he's obligated to do so, and he goes as far as to say that if he doesn't do so, he will be punished. That's how far he gets. There is an absolute obligation on a person, he's called a bardas, to use his intellect to be mavarer, to clarify, to investigate that which he received with Kabbalah. It's not enough to have a Kabbalah. I've got to analyze it. And if you take a look at the language of Rabbeinu Bechaye, he says, I was asked by one of the Chachmei Torah, is it Kabbalah? Is it enough to receive the fundamentals of the faith? V'tamod bimkom ha'iyun, that would replace the need for iyun, for analysis, for philosophical inquiry. He says the following, and we can fast forward a little bit. He says, Imata ish das utvuna, says Rabbeinu Bechaye, if you are a man of intellect and wisdom, shetuchal lamod bohem, you can take these fundamental principles of Kabbalah, al beru, and you could clarify Mashi Kibalta Me'achachomim, that which you received from the wise people, the sages, in the name of the Nevi'im, back to the prophets, Mishar She'adas, to go down into the roots of your religion, Ata Mitzuve Lishtamish Bahem, you're absolutely obligated to utilize these faculties. There's got to be A plus B. A is Kabbalah, B is Seichel. V'im tis'alim. And if you look the other way, v'tifsha bedover, and you are negligent, tia kimakatzer b'masha tochayev leboro yisbarach, you are cutting down that which you're obligated to do for your Creator. In other words, if you have the capacity, the capability of going beyond Kabbalah, and you know what? You refuse to do so. You say, you know what? I have simple faith. This is what I was taught. It was a transmission of beliefs. That's enough for me. I don't have to go beyond that. And you have the capacity to go beyond that. You have not fulfilled your obligation. And he calls him a poshea. An interesting, harsh word that he uses here. And again, we don't have time now to go through the entire piece of the Chovos HaLevavos, but I would want to point out to you a few other dimensions. He says, Halo Tireh, he says, when it comes to Seichel, Shalo Hiskir Becholam Inyam in Yonam Asher Yusku Mitzad HaSeichel, a person has to use his Seichel, his intellect, to analyze and to prove that which he has established in Kabbalah. And then later on he says, Ulechashiv imanefesh, he says, Shetamin b'em al yidei chokmei ha-Torah, he says, of course you have to accept the Kabbalah, what with that tradition that you received through the chokmei ha-Torah, avol omer shetoshuv al datcha u'teshamish b'sichlecha. But what the Torah is telling you here in this mitzvah of Anochi is that it's not sufficient. You have to use your seichel, and then tamod olav mitzara kabbalah. And that which you prove with seichel will only support your belief in kabbalah. She koleles kol mitzvah Torah shoshem u'perkeim v'tachkor olav b'sichlecha u'bitvunasecha. Now, Rabosai, I'm not sure if the Rabbeinu Bachai's presentation here goes as far as to say that you have to prove the logic of the mitzvahs, which is called Tamiya mitzvahs. I don't see any clear-cut indication that that's his position, but he definitely feels that the fundamentals of our belief, God is one, and God is all providential and knowledgeable, and he has the Hashkocha Pratis, and he gave us freedom of choice. All these fundamentals, including the giving of the Torah, that should be proved by investigation. He says, Kabbalah Kodemes, he says, first and foremost, you need the Kabbalah, sequentially, but then after that, that's not sufficient. Don't be someich on your Kabbalah, but rather, Misha Yuchal Adas Brura, B'derech Rayos, if he can indicate through proofs what the fundamentals of the belief are, he is required to do so. Umin adin la'ayin v'meshe yusag miderech ha-seichel u'lahavi olav rayos. He's got to adduce proofs, philosophical arguments, b'shikol hadas ozro l'mishe yeshlo yecholos lasos. We're going to see now the Sefer HaChinuch, who has a diametrically opposed view to this. And that's on the top of your page too. Keep in mind, the Sefer HaChinuch lived about the same time as Rabbeinu Bachai, but yet he came to the exact opposite conclusion about the nature and the scope of the obligation of Emunah. Now, just before we see the Sefer HaChinuch, I just want to see if we're on the same page here. If I were to ask you, and I'm wondering if I get a knee-jerk response the same as mine, which individual in the history of, shall I say, Jewish thinkers, you know, which person would you say embodies this approach of Rabbeinu Bachai? Who do you think of? Exactly. This mamish sounds like the Rambam. If you would have given this text to me without anonymously, I would have attributed it to the Rambam. The Rambam dedicates three books, which he calls the Moral and Avuchim, to try to prove all the essentials of Judaism. And when he has a question on those proofs, he goes so far to try to defend the philosophical conclusions that he's willing to reinterpret everything in order to make sure that it stems. Meaning, for example, just one example that comes to mind, but there are many examples, the belief in the unity of God, and God has to be a non-physical being, says the Rambam, and he dedicates almost one-third of the Moreh Nevuchim, I'm going to reinterpret every single passage in Tanakh. This is the closest that we have for a Pirush ala Torah, al Tanakh of the Rambam. I'm going to reinterpret every single pasuk that seems to indicate what they call anthropomorphism, that God has a body, he has eyes, he has a nose, he has arms. All that has to be reinterpreted, and he's going to go down to the Shoresh HaDavar. He is absolutely committed to philosophical inquiry. And the Rabbeinu Bachai says that, you know what, there are people who maybe are incapable of doing such a thing. They just don't have that philosophical intellect to do this. Okay, so they'll accept the fundamentals of Yadus B'Kabbalah, and that's fine and dandy, but if you have the ability to prove everything, to engage in philosophical inquiry, you are required to do that within the context of this mitzvah. If you take a look in the Sefer HaChinuch, you get the opposite conclusion. Let me just give you an overview of what the Sefer HaChinuch in his introduction to his magnum opus has to say about this topic. He wants to say that Chakira, which means intellectual investigation, is going to lead you absolutely nowhere. He says that with Chakira you'll never be able to understand the nature of God. And he says, Cholila, heaven forbid, that we should come to the Melech Malchei Hamlochim and say, you know what, we're on a great level, we understand God, we have investigated with our philosophical inquiries, and we understand what God is about. And basically, according to the approach of the Sefer HaChinuch, there's Maimed Har Sinai, and that's what it's all about. We stood at Har Sinai, we accepted the Torah, and now we transmitted that belief to our children and to all generations to come. Let's take a look at some of the highlights of the text of the introduction of the Sefer HaChinuch. This is on the top of your page 2. You have it? All right. He says, so let's assume we were 600,000 men, maybe we're 3 million strong, we accepted the Torah, we were all witnesses to the Torah. That's what happened at Maimon Har Sinai. Haim Sharo Beineyem, they, our ancestors, saw with their eyes. V'yadu ador v'yadi amitis. This was not some sort of philosophical endeavor. And we believe that these are men of emes. They saw and perceived the truth. Heidu livneim, and they testified for their children, asher yoldu achrechein, who were born afterwards, al kol divrei haTorah shel kiblu, al yidei Moshe, whatever they received, from Bereishis till Yeni Kol Yisrael, is emes ubar belishum pikbuk belishum safik ba'olam, and therefore that testimony was handed down from generation to generation, v'nimtzeis Torah seder b'yodeinu Torah emes. We can believe in the Torah based on the testimony of 600,000. I once saw a video presentation, you can get it online, I don't know exactly how to find it, from Rabbi Kellerman, you know, the permission to believe. And this argument, which is the fundamental argument of the Kuzari, if you've ever read Rabbi Yehuda Levi and his Kuzari, that we heard the testimony, we received the testimony, it was passed down from 3 million strong. You know, that's the basis of our belief. And therefore, the next paragraph, the Sefer Achinuch says, "V'yata now in Yitod Aleinu Mesis, Asher Levavo Ponim Hashem V'yomer Malacha Ish Yudiva Kabbalascha U'Malacha Lishal Avichos Kenech Chakoru Drosh B'Datcha." You know, the philosophers and the scoffers are going to say, "Why do you believe this tradition that you got from your ancestors? Why don't you get on? You know, be a big boy, stand up on your own two feet, and be Choker V'Doreish with your intelligence." And clarify, and then you'll see that, you know what, maybe there's no basis in logic for your conclusions. Is Noshev Elenu, we should respond to such an argument. That God never equipped man with the intellectual capabilities of comprehending God. And therefore, to say that we have to go ahead and embark on these investigations, chalila lanu chalila, lavo achrei hamelech begavhenu ularim yad velachshov machshavos b'mesha l'malam mimachshavosenu. God is above our comprehension. And avosenu zichrono levracha hem esidru shulchan lefanenu. They gave us the Torah, and it's organized in front of us. Hemiku she'elu bo el tachas hayedia mitas, whatever they taught us is all we have to know. We don't have to embark on philosophical investigations. Uma lanu achrei zos lachar ulechate tachrei dvarim ha'emes itam. We know that they are giving us the truth. We know that we can rely on our parents and our grandparents who passed on the truth to us. All we have to do is lishtos b'tzomis divrayim. There's no need to go beyond and embark on philosophical investigations and write books of logic and try to prove the existence of God and all the other philosophical endeavors. Al kein aderech hanivra liodom lasos kechol divrei haTorah mekubelos min ha'edim hanemonim asher nosan adon hachacham livnei odom uba nichlal kol das yakar v'chol chachmufer. Whatever we get, and any tradition that's been passed on us, that's all inclusive. We don't have to go in any way beyond that and embark on any philosophical endeavors which are anyway basically worthless. Now, I don't know if you have page 5, but it's just, yeah, you have such a page?
We can share.
So there's a sefer called the Orach Chaim. This is not the Orach Chaim from Tzfat, but rather an older writer. He's called a Chassid Yaivitz, and he was amongst the what we call the Megurashei Sfarad, which is again that transition period between the Rishonim and the Achronim. He wrote a tremendous commentary on Pirkei Avos, which is, you know, very, very popular, and he also wrote a book called the Orach Chaim. And in this book, he speaks about the days of the expulsion from Spain, which he personally witnessed and experienced. And he asks the following question. During that period of the Inquisition, and maybe you've heard this before, but you never saw it inside in its original source, who were the Jews who were willing to give up their lives rather than convert to Christianity? Who were the Mekadshei Shem Shamayim that were totally loyal? Were they the intellectuals, the philosophers, or were they the rank and file citizen? That's what he says. And he describes these people, and you know, you think he's being pejorative because he calls them Anoshim Amei Haaretz. He literally calls them ignorant. These were not the great scholars. And he says the following. He says that with regard to the Misparim B'chachma, those who were so proud of their intellectual achievements in wisdom, Bavonoseinu Arabim, I have to tell you, he says, Hemiru es kvodom biyod mar. They gave it all up. Vanoshim v'yamei ha'aretz masru gufam umamonom al kedushas boraham. And these were the individuals, the rank and file, simple, if you pardon the term, simple and possibly ignorant, he calls them Amiyaretz Jews. They were the ones who refused to convert and were willing to give up their lives al Kiddush Hashem. It's an unbelievable testimony from a first-hand witness of one of the greats of that period of time who personally experienced Geirish Sfarad. And he compares it to an ilan, a tree, shanof of merubim, v'sharshim mu'atim. He says that these scholars, maybe they have, you know, they have great anofim, they have branches that spread out, but when you look at their shoresh, he says they're lacking in their shoresh. They don't have the simple, fundamental emuna. But Amei Haaretz makirim es boram al yidei kabbalah bilvad. What gives these Amei Haaretz the fortitude and the strength to be dedicated and loyal to their belief in God? Simply Kabbalah. They're not philosophers. They're not scholars. They didn't use their intellect and wisdom to dove. But in the Shoresh, they are very solid. And therefore, Niskaimu, Lifnei Hashem Yisbarach, they remained steadfast and loyal to Hashem. Omnu v'nisyonam, they withstood all the tests. And they were willing to give up their lives. And again, although he doesn't, you know, formulate explicitly the words of the Sefer HaChinuch that we started with, I believe that this is definitely in line and perhaps even a proof to substantiate the approach of the Sefer HaChinuch against that of Rabbeinu Bechaye, that the greatest way to go is just simply Kabbalah, Emunah, faith, you accepted, you received, that's what you have to believe in. And if you take a look at Rav Huttner, which is on the bottom of your page 5, this is the Sefer Zikaron. You know, Rav Huttner was the author of the Pachad Yitzchak. And if I can put in a little bit of an advertisement here, I give a series on the YU site on Pachad Yitzchak. We just did a beautiful Pachad Yitzchak, and maybe I'll mention it later on in this context of Emunah. And he's quoted as saying, again, this is not in the Pachad Yitzchak, but the Talmidim quote him as saying that when we teach our children to say Shema Yisrael, the child has no great philosophical understanding of Achdus Hashem, the unity of God, Hashem Echad. I mean, on those two words, Hashem Echad, you could probably spend your lifetime with philosophical inquiry. That they don't know anything. But rather, Shigras Machshova Mitzuya Tofesis Bekan. We somehow penetrate into the minds and souls of our children. Hachdoras Zikaron Shekol Sheyisragil Yosel Shmoa. He says that the Kriyat Shema itself, the Shema Yisrael, is what inculcates into the children their ability to stand loyal in the greatest temptations. Afal pisha ein ze el shitchius, even though it's only a superficial commitment. But ikar amachuvon o local kach she yizkar kriyash rabbi yoser el tfisa she kabolas o malchus shvayim lotia mevuses al avon esichlus. Our belief and our commitment to accept the sovereignty of God is not because of Havana Siklis, our intellectual analysis. Ela al tashtit v'yisod ha-nefesh shu begedel l'mayla min ha-seichel. He says something about the nefesh, the soul of man, which is above seichel. And somehow from our early childhood, we, by osmosis, we accept within us this commitment of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim Hashem Echad V'yahavtas Hashem Elokech B'chol Nafshecha, and therefore we're willing and capable of even withstanding the greatest of tests and giving up our lives al Kiddush Hashem. Now, I want to point out one other point from the Sefer HaChinuch. We looked at the Hakdama, the introduction to the Sefer HaChinuch, but I would like to point out to you that the Sefer HaChinuch on page, just one second, oh, here it is. I put it aside. On page 1, you see the Sefer HaChinuch when he defines the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which is Mitzvah Chaf Hei, on the bottom of your page 1, he says, Mitzvah Ha'amuna B'Metzius Hashem Yisparach Lehamin Sheyesh Li'olam Eloka. And I can show you on at least 5 different sentences, lines, he consistently uses the word emuna to describe the nature of this mitzvah. He never uses the word leida or yedia. And I think the simple answer to that question is, excuse me, that emuna, which he defines as the yesod of das, the fundamental principle on which all our religion stands, is not something philosophical, as we saw in his introduction, but it simply means to accept, to be makabel. And that's called emuna, faith. Let me just show you how he repeats himself over and over again. He calls it mitzvah emuna, lahamin, he says, sheyesh liolam eloka, shehimtzi kol nimtzi, created everything. And then he says, Shenemar Anochi Hashem Elokecha. He says, Taminu Sheyesh Li'olam Eloka. And again he repeats himself, Hamuna Azos Yisod Adas, V'inyan Hamunahu, in the next paragraph, Sheyikava B'nafshel She'emes Kein, V'yefshar Chiluf Zeh B'Shumponim. And in the next paragraph, Dini HaMitzvah Zeh, Kigon Mashe B'chuyev Aleinu Lahamin Aleinu. It's always the word Lahamin, because the Minchas Chinuch rejects the idea of philosophical analysis. Now let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam is on page 3. And I have for you on page 4 an additional Rambam. On page 3, you will see the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah. And the Rambam repeats himself 3 times in defining the nature of this mitzvah as what? What word does the Rambam use over and over again on in the Mishneh Torah and Hilchos Sodei Torah?
Leida.
Leida. Yedia. He starts by defining the mitzvah as Leida Sheyesham Eloka. Then he writes, Yesod Yeshodos Vamura Chachma Leida Sheyesham Motzui Rishon. And then in Perek Alpha Lach Vav, Yedias Dover Zeh Mitzvah Saseh Shenemar Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Again, the emphasis on the word Yedia. And this, I think, is the Rambam Lishitaso. Does it surprise you, Rabosai, that the Rambam consistently uses the word Yedia, whereas we saw in the Sefer Chinuch the word Emuna? The Rambam, apparently, as we saw in Rabbeinu Bachai, requires a lot more than just Emuna. Now, one of the super commentaries on the Rambam, who lived about 5 centuries ago, was the Sefer Rokeach. If you take a look at the bottom of your page 3, he says, the locus of Lahamim, Lefisha Ikar Mitzvahi al Yedei Hayedia Hamitis, and had he stopped here, I would have said, what's the basis for such a thing? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. God is the God, He's one God, Shema Yisrael. That's what I received. Minayin, where does the Rambam know that there's a mitzvah of Yedia? And he says, Kiderech Sha'asa Avram Avinu all of a shalom. And this is fascinating to me. And I sort of, when I read this, I kicked myself. You know, like, why didn't I think of this? The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Avodas Kochavim has a long, long description in great detail of the philosophical proofs that Avraham Avinu adduced and invoked in order to prove monotheism in a world that he lived in of polytheism, of idol worship. And it's all based on Mamari Chazal. There is a machlokus exactly how old Avraham Avinu when he finally believed in Hashem. The Rambam gives you the impression he started his inquiry at the ripe old age of 3 years old, and he concluded his inquiries at the age of 48, and he was searching for God for all those years, and then Vayomer Hashem al Avram Lech Lecha Me'Artzecha. Hashem appears to Avram Avinu. But Avram Avinu the way the Rokech understands the Rambam is going to set the pace and the pattern and the standards. He sets the bar, if you will, for the mitzvah of Emunah. Just like Avraham Avinu, without a tradition, is going to work on philosophical proofs and investigations to establish the belief in God. And according to the Midrash, his basic belief is what we call the cosmological argument for the existence of God. You know, what are the chances of a monkey, jumping on a typewriter and authoring, you know, the works of Shakespeare? And what are the chances of looking at this infinite, intricate world and universe and it just happened, you know? And that's called Leda. And it's not just Emunah. But Al Yidei Zev, through this philosophical inquiry, says the Rokeach, Techazek HaEmunah Belibo. He has to strengthen his Emunah. And Yachal Olav Mitzvahs HaYichud VeHa'ava. And this is what the Rambam holds. So we have to really develop from the basic level of Emunah and rise through great philosophical inquiries and a lot of work to the level of Yidea. However, we turn the next page and we see the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And here we get a whole different impression. The Rambam says, the first mitzvah in the Torah, Hatzivui asher tzivonu lehamin elokus. And if he doesn't say it once, he repeats himself another few times, Shenamin sheyesham ila v'siba. And at the end of his presentation, he writes, now he seems to be taking a whole different approach. Now, admittedly, the Rama wrote this in Arabic, and this is a translation into Lashon Kodesh, but if you take a look at the footnotes here, you will see that it seems that the scholars who understood the Rambam's language have the word Emunah here, and not Yedia. Although he mentions the Sefer Maaser Rokech here in a footnote, Asfaradi, Shalachain Kosav Leida V'lo Lahamin, L'fi She'ikar HaMitzvah Hi'al Yedei Yedia, V'chein B'minyan HaMitzvahs. So those extra words, which we saw on the bottom of page 3, V'chein b'minyan ha-mitzvahs, that also seems to give you the impression that the Rambam consistently requires Yedia. But that's not what the Rambam has here. Here he has the mitzvah of Emunah. Now, I was once present at the Tshuva Drasha of the Rav, Zichron Levracha, which he gave in Yiddish, Ben Kessel Osar, and the Rav was very much sensitive to this seeming contradiction in the Rambam. And the Rav had a different take on the word Yedia. Not the way the Sefer Rokeach understood it, because then we're stuck with this irreconcilable contradiction the Rambam calls the Mitzvah Emunah. And the Rav understood, and Rav Soloveitchik understood.
Rabbi Berzon?
Yes?
I can mute the microphone. Anyone hear anything from this side? Would that help?
Yeah, sure. That would be great.
You can keep talking. You can keep going, Rabbi Berzon.
Okay. Rav Soloveitchik assumed, and when you're ready to ask questions or make comments, then please turn it on.
Okay, will do.
Okay? That not every Jew is required to be a philosopher, and the Rambam could not have possibly expected, when he codifies the mitzvos, to use the term Yedia and require that every single rank and file Jew become like the Rambam and write philosophical treatises to prove the Yesodei Hadas. We're not obligated. What does the Rambam mean there for the Mishneh Torah when he speaks about Yedia? So the Rav quoted the pasuk in Mishlei, "Bechol drachecha da'ehu." And what does Shlomo Melch mean when he says da'ehu, know God? And there's a beautiful, beautiful presentation. Pichas Peli wrote it up fantastically in the Alat Tshuva, and it's very kedai to see it. It's pages and pages long. I'll just give you the tip of the iceberg, the gist of what he said. And that is that we have to take that emuna that we have and convert it not through philosophical inquiry into yediyah, but yediyah means b'chol drachecha, in every walk of life, in every encounter, in every experience that we have, to know Hashem. You wake up in the morning and you see the sunrise, and you see, if you look out at the sea, and the sun reflects a ray of light on the sea, and you declare, that's Hashem, that's called b'chol drachecha de'eyu. And you see a newborn baby that's born, or a child that smiles, and you say, that's divine, that's b'chol drachecha de'eyu. So although our beliefs are sort of abstract, that's called emuna, we have to upgrade and transform them into yediyah by experiencing God in everything that we do, and everything that we feel, we breathe, we wake up, we go to sleep. Everything is God. God is everywhere. As Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Meditshva made up a song, maybe you've heard of it, Mizrach Du, Mairiv Du. Now, wherever you turn, God is there. And that's what the Rama means when he uses the word yediyah. But if you take a look in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and in all these footnotes here, the footnotes that you have on the page are from Reb Chaim Heller, who is a great genius, you get the impression that they're trying to work out some sort of reconciliation of the Rambam. Here in Sefer HaMitzvos, he calls it Emunah, and in the Yad HaChazakah, he calls it Yediyah. What I want to point out to you here, if you happen to have page 5, is a sefer called Derech Pikudecha from the Dinever. I don't know if any of you have any Hasidish background amongst the Glitziana Hasidim. There was the Dinever Rebbe. His name was Reb Tzvi Hirsch, and he authored a book called Derech Pikudecha. I know this from a very close friend of mine who's a great-grandson of the Dinever. And in this book, he took it upon himself to explain the mitzvahs. But it's very interesting. You would have anticipated that his position, that of the Derech Pikudecha, he's more famous for another work of his called the Bnei Yisaschar, you would have thought that he was a great intellect, and therefore he would have espoused the view of the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Bechai. But the opposite is true. And he says, in a very fundamental way, you'll see it in the middle of your page 5, he takes a definite negative stand at those who would be choker b'yesodas emuna, who want to investigate the fundamentals of the emuna. And he writes, let's see if we can sort of highlight certain parts of his text. He quotes the Rambam at the very beginning, and he says, Lizbonein b'kavanah, so let's analyze what the Rambam means here. And he says, Hagam shechochma gedoli hi lehamtzi b'sichlo mitzius hashas b'mofes v'chein shar ikri adas. In kol ze amud v'yesodas hachochma leida be'emuna hakabola ha'mesura lanu mipi avoseinu u'minivienu u'be'emuna toraseinu ha'mitis mitzias ha'borei v'chidish ha'olam ki ze kol ish Yisrael lahamin emunas ome uman mibli chakira v'chakira philosophy. He says, "Asur li ishe Yisrael, mishu beemes mizere Yisrael, below mea erev rav, lo yistapek beikrei amuna, ki ze Yerushalon meavoseinu ibli chakira. Ve'ini omer lecha, if you were to claim that it's not enough to rely on the transmission and the faith from generations before you, hini omer lecha yedidi hakore, he says, I'm telling you, those who read this, that Im yiftoch chatoim lachor b'chakiris philosophis, he says, al ta'ove, he says, try to avoid being sucked into this approach that is very tempting to involve yourself in philosophical inquiry. V'tivlas manecho b'toras Hashem, but rather, why not just dedicate your time not to chakiris philosophios, but rather to studying the Torah of Hashem and its mitzvos. He calls it avayos dabai v'rova. That's the bread and butter. And that's where you should be putting your time. He says, Bir oscha, bekamem kidmonim, and don't ask me, wait a minute, let's go back to our early Rishonim, Asher holchu b'derech zeh. He mentions Rav Sadja Gon in Amunas Videos. He mentions the Chovas HaLevavos of Rabbeinu Bechaye and the Rambam in the Sefer Amora. Teda yedidi shegam zelo asu rak lahoshiv tshuvah apikorsim shevimeya. The only reason why these great Rishonim got involved in philosophical inquiry is in order to respond to the scoffers and the deniers of their generation of lo asu zelahamid bil libam biatzmam amitus yisodei Torah. It wasn't that they felt that this was absolutely necessary in order to strengthen and allow the beliefs in and the faith in Torah to penetrate into the fundamental souls. No, that wasn't necessary. The Kabbalah kind of emunah is much greater and much more fundamental and profound than Chakira. The only reason that they engaged in these kind of philosophical inquiries is because of the members of their generation. They had to have a constant confrontation and dialogue with them. And he says, why don't you read the words of the Chassid, Rav Yavitz, in his work, Orach Chaim, who says that in his dar, which was a dar of Shmad, the Inquisition, he says, Rov ha'noshim ha'pokrim elu rubam kekulam bismanam asher choshvu leilich v'darkei chakiris v'filosofos, heim elu shemordu. They, at the end of the day, did not remain steadfast and loyal to Hashem. They were the first to accept Christianity, even though they were great chakirim, chokrim, philosophim. So he says that the chakira philosophit is not going to get you very far. And here, Abosai, what I'd like to do is to fast forward to page 6. Again, I'm not sure if you have page 6. You have it? Now, in the middle of your page 6, you have the Avi HaEzri, the Avi Ezri. This is Rav Shach, who is a Talmud Muvhak of the Brisker Rav, who is, of course, the son of Rav Chaim Brisker. And he writes, Me'ozu mitamid ayisi mispalei, lama mechinim lemitzvah zu emunah. Why do people call this first mitzvah emunah? He says, Harei b'pshuto shezeu me'amuskolos harishonos di'efshal li'olim b'li manhig, v'gam mibsori echzal loka. He says that anyone who has even the slightest inclination towards philosophical inquiry will come to the intuitive conclusion that there's got to be a creator. And if you look at your own physical, physiological structure, you will see God, Chachma Nifla B'chol Yitzur Katan, the amazing wisdom that can only be divine in every single small creature, in every leaf on every tree. Sounds like he knew about the discovery program. I don't know. He says, Mikol Shkein Chachma B'Yitzir Sa'adam, and we look at man, all the different systems of man, how much more so do we begin to appreciate that this could only be the product of a divine creation? And therefore, when the Rambam says, Leidas Hashem, we certainly appreciate Yediya. This is not just blind faith. Vashevosel of Avecha, just think about the entire creation. Again, the cosmological proof for the existence of God. It sounds very similar to Avram Avinu according to the Midrashim. Lamazen Nikra Muna. Why the whole terminology of Muna is a misnomer? And you'll tell me that the Rambam himself in the Sefer HaMitzvos formulates a tzivui shetzivonu ba'amonas halukus in emuna. I don't understand it. So, in other words, even the Rambam, who is the great philosopher, uses the term emunah. So it's not just that, you know, we picked up the word emunah and we made a mistake. It's not really emunah, it should be idea and chakira. He says this was always on his mind. Vishaalti ezos lemoran agon agodol. Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Halevi Salavetchik Zatzal. I asked my Rebbe, the Brisker Rav, the Omar Lishagam, who Omen Alzeh. He was also upset and confused about this very same point. Vishal Zosli Aviv Hagrach Zatzal. And he asked his father, Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim, we're going back probably 130, 40 years. I mean, Reb Chaim is already gone for 120 years almost. And Reb Chaim Omar Li, Reb Chaim told me the following: Shevadai ad kama shesechel hodem agas. To the extent that the intellect of a person can comprehend God, who muskal, that you call muskal, that's understood. The ein zu emuna, that's not called emuna, but he yidia, that's called yidia. Why does the Rambam talk about emuna? Hachiyuv emuna maschil mimakom shekola seichel ha'adam. The human intellect gets to a certain point, but not beyond. From that point and beyond, everything that we have to believe in is based on emuna. Seichel ha'adam mugbol hu bizman v'makom. Our intellect is limited. What's lamala min hazman? How do we comprehend things that are beyond time or beyond space? Ain lana musag. You know, you try to sit and comprehend the infinity of space, your mind will just burst it at the seams. The atzmusa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the essence of God is lamala min hazman v'makom. Ain lanu shum tfisa b'seichel ha'adam. We cannot even begin to grasp in our intellect. Oz chalalav chavos emuna. At that moment, the mitzvah of emuna takes place, takes hold, and is activated. We have two mitzvahs, says Reb Chaim. Tzvei dinim, the true Brisker. Says the first mitzvah is the mitzvah of yediyah. This is the exact opposite of Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai says the first mitzvah is Kabbalah, and that which we received in Kabbalah, which is Emunah, now we have to upgrade it and convert it to Yediyah through Chakira philosophic. Reb Chaim is saying the opposite. First we start with human seichel. Activate the natural intuitive powers of the intellect and you will come to certain conclusions. But then you exhaust your intellect, and to go beyond that, what you need is Emunah. And that's what the Rambam formulates in the Sefer HaMitzvos. And he says even further, he says, Lama zedafka bi'echad v'lo ba'amil Hashem alkeinu v'yomar Hashem alkeinu zekeneged akra di'anokhi Hashem alkecha v'echad zekeneged akra lo yelecha lehim acherim alponai. And Reb Chaim tries to integrate this all into one beautiful structure. So let's just summarize what we're saying over here. According to Reb Chaim, the mitzvah is a mitzvah of hamuna, because once the seichel exhausts its ability and fulfills its obligation, and we come up with what intuitively seems to be truth, after that, we get to the point in which we require emunah. And I think perhaps we could bring a little bit of a proof to Reb Chaim from the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, which is on the top of your page 6. The Rambam there addresses a very, very well-known philosophical question, the issue of what we call emunah and bechira. We believe in freedom of choice. The whole Torah stands or falls on that philosophical belief. If there's no freedom of choice, then what's the whole point? But yet, we believe at the same time that God has a yediyah, and He knows everything. Shema Tomar asks the Rambam, Halo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodeh kol ma sheyeh kodem sheyeh. Yeda, yoda shezeh tzadik, or Russia. God knows everything. Nuvim tomar, sheyoda sheyeh tzadik. If God knows that so-and-so is going to be a tzadik, is efsha sheyeh Russia? Is there a possibility to become a Russia? How can you reconcile yediyas Hashem with bechira? Vida, he says, the answer to this question is requires an endless amount of analysis. That Ke'il, God knows what I'm going to choose, but yet I still have freedom of choice. God knows what I'm going to choose with my own freedom of choice. Which is a problem in time, because sequentially God knows about my choice even before I make the choice. So there's no doubt that I'm going to make the choice. So where is the freedom of choice? And the Rambam says, Kfar bi'arnu b'perek sheni milchas yisodi ha-Torah, Shekadosh Baruch Hu eino yodea b'deya shi'chutz mimenu, kibnei odem sheheim v'daitom shnayim hem, ela hu yisbarach shmo v'daito echad. The wisdom and the knowledge of God and God is one and the same. It's not like we talk about a person who knows. There's the person himself and his essence, and then is his knowledge. But what we cannot comprehend about God is that God's knowledge and Him are essentially one and the same. There's no bifurcation, there's no separation between God and His knowledge. Now, can you and I understand how God and His knowledge are one? Says the Rambam, name, no way, no how. Ein daito shalom yichol hasik dover zel burio. We don't have, with our intellectual, you know, minuscule abilities, the possibility of understanding this. What it means that God and His yedia are one. And ki lo yaradi adam achai, man is not capable of being masig the amitas habore. A person cannot be, a human being cannot be masig an understanding of the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his knowledge and his wisdom as being one and the same. The Kevan Shekein, and therefore, Kevan Shekeinu, therefore, Ein Banu Koach Leida Heich Yoda HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol Abruim V'Amasim. We'll never be able to comprehend how it is that God knows the actions, past, present, and future, of all creatures. Avol noda b'lo safek shemaisa adam b'yad adam. We know that man has freedom of choice. V'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu moshcho v'lo gozer olav v'lo lasos kein v'shelo lo lasos kein v'lo mipnei kabos hadas b'lvad noda dover zeh el b'rayos b'ruros midivrei hachochma. So the Rambam here is very complex, but I do think that it really reflects and touches upon what Reb Chaim was establishing. Yes, we do have some sort of knowledge, or at least intuitive sense, of free choice. I feel that I'm making the free choice. But nevertheless, philosophically, the human intellect cannot comprehend freedom of choice unless it can comprehend that God and His knowledge are one. And since that's beyond human comprehension, we have no way of really understanding that, then we really have no way of understanding how Yediyah is how Bechira reconciles itself with Yediyah. So at some point, there's an element of Emunah here that has to be added to the equation. And as we said before, the name Reb Chaim, Chiyuv Emunah Maschil B'Mokom Shekola Seichel Ha'odah. Man is limited, his intellect is limited, beyond that we need, and we have to rely on Emunah. And the truth is that the Ravid got very upset with this Rambam. He doesn't understand, lo na'ag zeh machaber k'minog ha'chachamim. This is not the way of a wise person. She'ein adam maschil b'davar v'lo yada lashlima. You know, to ask a question and you don't know how to answer it, if at the end of the day the Rambam is going to say that this is beyond our comprehension, so why did he ask the question to begin with? He should have left it for our Emunah. And then I wanted to share with you, I know we're running out of time here, or at least point out to you the Ramban in his Pirush al Torah back on page 1, and he seems to emphasize the element of Kabbalah, the element of Emunah, and he de-emphasizes the element of philosophical inquiry. And we don't have time to go into that right now, but Emir Sashem will try to pick it up at a different time. Actually, the language of the Ramban seems to indicate Hadibra Azem Mitzasei Omar Anochi Hashem Yoravi Yitzavo Sonu Sheyedu Viyaminu Ki Yesh Hashem Vulekim Lachem. It sounds like the Ramban is the first Rishon who combines both Yedia and Emuna, Yedu v'Aminu, in one breath. Meaning that there are two parts to this mitzvah, according to the Ramban, and two kiyumim, if you want to call it that, or two parts of one key, maybe that's more meduyak. And on the one hand, we have a mitzvah of Yediyah, to be choker b'darchei aseichel, as much as the human mind can achieve. And then the Ramban says, secondly, in sequence, lahamin, meaning after the termination of our powers of Yediyah through the intellect, now the emuna element, the blind faith, takes over. In fact, even the Sefer HaChinuch at one point, I notice, says sheyedu v'aminu ki yesh Hashem. And we start with Yediyah and then we go to Emuna. We would have thought that, you know, in the light of what we saw in the Rabbeinu B'chai, that we start with Emuna and then go to Yediyah. But based on Reb Chaim's insights, we could really present the thesis in the opposite sequence. That chronologically we begin with Yediyah, and then where Yediyah terminates, that's where Emuna takes over and begins. The Avi Ezri, in his presentation, he mentions, he refers to the Beis HaLevi. That's Reb Chaim's father, and he was going back to the first Reb Yosha Ber. And that the mitzvah of Emunah applies where there is no possibility of being masig b'seichel. The Beis HaLevi, in this very long presentation, which you'll see here on page 7, and this is in Parshas Bo, the Beis HaLevi says, "Ubaze novin shtei l'shona shenever mitzvahs mechiyas ha-molek." He goes back to the mitzvah of mechiyas ha-molek. And although I don't know if we'll get into that now, but let's just emphasize a particular part, excuse me, in his presentation, and that you'll see way into this entire discussion, where he writes, "Misha pug libo milahamin, elo refua biyadei adam." And he writes, "Kol mashe yirbe chavero lisvakech imo lachzir lemuna lo yoil klal." He says that if a person loses his emuna, it's very hopeless to try to engage him excuse me, in philosophical inquiry to try to get him back on the track of Emuna. Darei kol sofa uchochos varayos, at the end of all the proofs and all the demonstrations, muchrach lovo le'emuna, the element of Emuna is going to have to kick in. Kol zman shlo yamin rak v'meshen isbar lo b'mofes ein lo chelik b'mitzvah Emuna klal. If he's only going to accept that which he can prove philosophically and demonstrate, that at the end of the day he won't be a mamin. He says, "Achiyuv lachuf ulevatel sichlo liavodoso yisparach." At some point he's going to have to suspend his power of the intellect in order to serve Hashem. For who ba'amino b'divrei Torah, he's got to accept the words of the Torah. Even if there are elements which he cannot rationally explain, and therefore mission is kalkel daito chalilu pug libo lehemenare ein kof biad chaver l'raposo ulachzir l'mutov rak yivakesh meis Hashem sheitein belibo emunaso v'yitar libo lavodas Hashem yisparach tikun kolam b'chol biuru sheyetzra binyan emuna mekuyam. Hashem is going to have to, you know, intervene here in order to bring about the universal emuna of mankind. And if you take a look in the essay of Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman on emuna, you will see that he too analyzes the question of Emunah from the perspective of faith, and that is the primary element of Emunah. And that's what Rabbi Elchanan is famous, very famous for saying. How is it that we find doubters and scoffers who question the belief in God when there's so many proofs right in front of our eyes. And he speaks about the fact that Lo Sasur Akli Levavchem, Chazal say Zuaminus. And what is it, Levavchem? Lechora, if Minus means Apikursus, his problem is in the Seichel, it's not in the Lev. And that's where Rabbi Chanan comes up with this very, very famous Shita in Emuna, that the mitzvah of Emuna is really to be Machnia, to be Meshabid, his Ratzon to Hashem. The mitzvah lahamin is hainu shlo yigbar tavosa v'alasechel. You know, he should clear his mind from all the influences of the taivus and the desires to live a free life. And then if he just allows his mind to be free, his mind will definitely accept the belief in Hashem. The problem is the shochad that is blinding our eyes, and that's the shochad of the Eitz Ahar of the taivus halev. And the Chazon Ish, to a large extent, reflects the same approach as Rabbi Chanan when he explains the Maimer Chazal Hechi Domi Apikor Zesha Efshel Olasik B'Torah Veina Oseik. I mean, L'chora is Askus B'Torah, and the fact that he is negligent in learning Torah, that's one individual chait that doesn't seem to relate to Chovas HaLevavos. The Chazon Ish explains that he says Li'or Ashkofa Shemitzus Emuna Pirush Hashlotas Haseichel V'ha'akora b'ashem v'taros al kol chedri machshova ritzonos nimsa shenesinas mokom v'machshova lichios kol yomov chayed yotos shal yoshvei kronos b'koros ruach u'b'chalomus ne'imim hu nesinas rishus l'minus v'chedri ha'machshova v'helim kol mitzvah Hashem. If you waste away, fritter away your time and your life by sitting around as the yoshvei kronos and dream and living in a dream world, you don't give yourself over to the study of Torah, then at the end of the day, what's going to take over your entire Chedri Machshava is Minus. And that's what Lo Sasur Achrei Levavchem Zua Minus. And therefore, when the Bir Aloch, at the beginning of his work on Or HaChaim, Siman Aleph says that there are six mitzvos, Tmidios, Lo Yafsuku, Lo yiposku me'al ha'odem afilu rega echad kol yomav v'chol rega sheyachshav ben yikayim mitzvah sasevi en ketzlamat en schara mitzvahs. And on the list of six, the first is lahamin sheyesh eloka echad ba'olam shehimtzi kol ham nimtzos. And then he has number two is shalonamin b'shum alihim zulaso. Then he has liyachto, liyavo, liyiro, and then lo nasra achrei machshavas halev riyaseinayim. Basically, this is the way we want to complete our discussion, that the mitzvah of Emunah, believing in one God, is a mitzvah that can accompany us every minute of the day, and every time we think about it, we fulfill a mitzvah. It's the sheish mitzvahs shechiyuvan tmidi, yiratzim v'zocha, to fulfill the mitzvah of Emunah in all its facets, in all its forms, on a constant basis. It's a mitzvah tmidis, kein yiratzon. Amen.